CLS is go for main engine start.
Go at throttle up. Negative return. Then we see a nominal MECO. Welcome to space.
Do you want to hear some inane Canada election trivia?
Oh, yeah, of course I do. I didn't know this was part of the show.
I'm just going to start it off in a completely off-nominal way.
Is this a question and answer kind of situation?
No.
Canadian politics more, lightning round?
It's like a look how different we are from you conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, so our election started 2 days ago, our federal election. And it will be done more than a year before yours. Wait.
Well, that could be a 3-hour election. That's not specific.
It's a 40-day election.
Oh my God. Why?
Because elections are really tiring, and I don't know how you guys do them 60% of your life.
Wait. 40 days. You mean like is that inclusive of the campaign season? Okay. Yeah, yeah. We love elections.
I know you do.
We love elections.
You've been having the 2020 election for like 9 months already.
Some would say longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great rip-roaring start.
Yeah. That's how I do it.
Killer intro.
When we just kind of throw these intros on each other, there's like, you know, we're 24 episodes in now and...
Oh, wow.
You know, like that, we're gonna drop a few.
Oh, is that accurate? Is it 24?
It might be, isn't it? Didn't we do 23 last time? Or is it 22? That's close.
23.
We're all like Googling our website.
So the next show is our 2-year anniversary.
It's because we missed one, remember?
Which one was that?
There was, because like our podcast dates were like drifting later in the month.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we did a leap year kind of situation.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. It has been 2 years though. Almost, because I think it must have been the September episode was our first one. I think that's what it was.
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
We managed to do something for 2 years.
And that actually reminds me that I have something that we need to tell the listeners. Yes.
Jake got some very valuable feedback. Can you give us, before you got this feedback at a meetup?
Yes. Yeah, so
can you give us a meetup rundown again?
The Airways meetup V2. Yeah, we went back. It was so good the first time. Went back down. So our friend Pat was in town, who is the curator of the amazing rocketlaunch.live website, which I'm sure many of our listeners will know. It's where you should go to find out when rockets go up. So you should check it out.
And pay him money so that you get the premium feature of getting the calendar link, because then you put it in your calendar like I do. And at all times of the day on your Apple Watch, you know if there's a rocket launch to watch.
It's amazing. And so he was in town. So we went to Museum of Flight. It was awesome. And then back to Airways again. We had a couple listeners show up, so one of them, it was a good night. It was, again, they're short because they close at 7 on Saturdays, which is a tough time to close a bar on a Saturday. But it's a weekday bar. It's like it's where, you know, Blue Origin goes after work. So it was great. We had a lot of fun. It reminds me. I have it right here. Okay, so here's a jingly sound. This is a bag of some amazing swag, and I'm gonna show you. I think you've seen it. So this is an amazing pin.
Oh my God, I have not seen that.
Okay, so it's an amazing pin that Kevin made for us.
Can you post a link in the chat or a picture?
Yeah, I will do a picture of it.
Holy crap, man.
And it says Jim Bridenstine Fan Club with a picture of his lovely face.
Wait, somebody made these?
Someone made these for us. Kevin made these for us.
When you say for us.
Because... we love Jim Bridenstine.
But he didn't make a bunch and also give us some? Like, this was inspired by... Oh, my God. That's so many of them. Holy crap. Are we...
And he said... well, because he was like, how much...
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. So he was like, how much is it for one? And they were like, that's this much. He's like, well, how much is it for like 50? And it was like 10 cents more. So he just bought them all. And then he said, what do you want to do with these? And I said, well, how about I'll take them to IAC for the meetup?
Yes. My God, so, this is going to be the album art of this show, by the way.
Anyway, so that happened. So Kevin is awesome. And then Kevin also gave us some
picture,
really...
No, hold on. That picture, the picture of JB on that is amazing.
I know,
amazing.
It's such a good one, right?
Yeah, it's like third it's grade school good. Photo, you know, like... It's the version of the iPhone camera portrait mode that nobody uses where it blacks out the background. And it's like kind of shitty. That's amazing.
And like, we're really getting ready for IAC because check this out. Like, look how many stickers I have. Like,
oh yeah, you got the whole run of Miko stickers too.
I did buy some Miko stickers for you.
Speaking of which, you got feedback at the meetup.
Yeah, so Kevin also didn't just make me awesome pins. He also gave us good feedback. Did you know, Anthony, do you remember 2 years ago on our first show?
And barely.
We were like, hey, this is a weird new podcast. Let's explain what it is. And we like talked about our other podcasts and how they all relate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was 2 years ago and we've never done it since. And so
every
2 years we need to remind you. So listeners, if you came into Off Nominal from Main Engine Cutoff, Anthony's great, lovely podcast, you should know that I also have another podcast. It's called We Martians, and it's about Mars. And you should check that out, too.
Mm-hmm. And if you came in from We Martians, Jake's lovely podcast about all things Mars, I do a show called Main Engine Cutoff, and you should check that out also. It's about policy and rockets, mostly. Yeah. And if you and came into it from this show, yeah. You'd need to email us immediately.
If you somehow came into Off Nominal organically... Because Apple Podcast told you to download it because you were a subscriber to, I don't know, the Space Show or something. yeah, you definitely need to check out. You have two new podcasts to add to your queue.
And you need to email us
at I am an organic listener at offnominal.space. And
not to give you more work. But...
It'll work. It'll get to us. Trust me. But yeah, so we should probably do that more often than 2 years. Thank you for the feedback, Kevin. That was good feedback.
That's very good feedback.
Yeah.
The meetup. Oh, let's talk about beers. We didn't do beers. Let's do an interlude of beers.
Okay, well, so I brought beer from the meetup.
Oh,
so
this is a good transition.
Yeah. So this is... listeners can't see it, but I have a full growler of Airways brewing. This is the New Shepard Pale Ale.
Oh,
so
you did get it this time. Okay,
it's
good.
It's literally named after the New Shepard rocket. For Blue Origin.
I'm pretty sure that's why you did the second meetup, because last time we talked about you,
I was mad at myself
bringing any. Did you drink this when you were there also?
The first time I drank the New Shepard Pale Ale, and the second time I tried the pre-flight Pilsner.
They must drink a lot of that. Oh! Yeah.
Zinger. You might say that the actual Blue Origin beer is still brewing.
Couple of batches.
Kidding.
A couple of test batches.
That's a good beer.
Breaking in the Oilers cup.
What do you got?
I went to my local corner shop. They have a nice display of the beers, special beers that they don't usually sell.
What's a corner shop?
It's a thing when you live in cities. That is a very tiny shop. It's probably, 400 square feet. You go in, it's a bunch of fridges. Called the Foodery. Don't be creepy. It's a lovely shop. It's only a couple blocks away. A little closer than that, but I don't want to be too specific. And this Space Force beer was there.
Wow.
And it's from 8 and Sand. 8, the number 8, but spelled out, and Sand. Space Force. Double IPA. It has a questionable graphic of like a spacesuit. It kind of looks more like an orange chef's jacket than a spacesuit, you know what I mean, like the one with the buttons on the down the kind of the side. And it's apparently from South Jersey, only across the bridge in Woodbury, which is where close to where I grew up. So look at that.
Cool.
Here, you want to hear a little origin story of Eight and Sand Beer Company?
I do, yeah.
We're two buddies from South Jersey that are fully devoted to brewing innovative and quality craft beer. The phrase Eight and Sand was used to wish train crews a quick and safe journey, and we feel it a fitting name for our brewery. Adorable.
Cool.
It's delicious. Couple of tall boys.
Couple of tall boys.
All right. Well, in the live chat here, where we should also mention, we have this little Discord. We do this show live.
Yeah.
The live crew is discussing something that we did in Florida for Falcon Heavy, which was the beer swap.
Yeah.
Where you brought a bunch of local beer. Brendan Byrne of Florida fame brought a bunch of local beer, and we drank it all.
Yeah, we did drink it all.
And we should do that down in DC, because in a month and a couple of weeks, you and I will be together in Washington, D.C. for IAC 2019.
The capital.
Glorious. You keep saying that. Nobody really says it.
No. But it is the capital, right?
It is. It's an accurate statement, but
What are some fun colloquialisms? Like the Beltway.
Inside the Beltway, yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
All right.
The really expensive place that's a little south of Baltimore.
So we have some meetup plans. You want to talk through them?
Yes. So we are going to be, the conference is a regular weekly conference kind of situation. So we'll be busy with the conference stuff. If you're going to be at IAC, let us know, because we'll be walking around the floor, hanging out in the evenings. So hit us up through one of the channels.
And we should note that Friday is an open day. You don't need to have, like, you don't need to be an IAC member or like IAF member or media or anything. Friday is open to the public, so.
Oh, cool. Well, maybe that's a good time for people that are in the area that don't have a ticket to come on by. Yeah. we're getting crap in the chat room because we literally solidified these plans 5 minutes ago. Yeah. We didn't start generating them 5 minutes ago. We just solidified them 5 minutes ago. We had wonderful help from local man, Caleb Henry.
Yeah.
Another South Jersey boy, much like me and the guys that made the spear. Ooh, I just spilled it all over the place.
Oh, no.
First time we've ever done that.
Yeah, that's actually pretty odd. No, these plans are
what do we do now? What is the protocol here? Do we pause the show and I wipe this up?
I think probably you have to.
Okay, hold on.
Wow, this one's really off nominal, guys. Real off nominal. Oh, is that toilet paper? Oh no.
My kitchen is two whole floors away, Jake.
That's toilet paper?
Very absorbent.
Oh no. It's going to disintegrate all over your desk.
2 years. All right. Anyway, while I'm wiping this up.
We've got new listeners in the Discord. This is their first time, and they're really getting a show here.
Okay. Can you talk about the meetup while I'm wiping this up?
Okay. All right. So if you are at the conference Monday to Friday, especially Friday, which is open to the public, please come by and say hello. We'd love to hang out with you. But if you are not going to the conference the weekend before, we're coming in a little early. We want to hang out a little bit. So Sunday, which is, I'm really bad at dates all of a sudden. Is that the 20th?
October 20th.
October 20th, Sunday. We're going to go to the Udvarhazy Space Museum. What do you call it? Space Center, Space Exhibit? Air and Space Museum. Is out at Dulles Airport. We'll be there around 10 a.m. So, and then there basically the whole day. So if you want to come by and look at Space Shuttle Discovery with us, that'd be pretty cool.
SR-71. A Concorde.
Wow. Okay,
there's a lot of really good stuff. A ton of planes from World War II, including a bunch of Nazi planes that we captured.
Ooh.
Very like weird one-offs that we have.
Okay.
There's some other spacey articles there, too. There's a couple of Gemini capsules. There's an Astro van. There is an entire... there's a space lab in the back. Actual space-flown space lab. There is an entire... Last time I was there, there's an entire SSL 1300 satellite bus. You can stand next to a commercial satellite bus. I think it was a Sirius XM bus that never flew.
Isn't SSL 1300 going to be the gateway logistics or the gateway PPE?
Probably. I think so. But this one's pretty old.
Totally is.
This one's old, so it's probably out of date. They're probably not going to use this one.
It won't have solar electric propulsion.
Yeah, it's not this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Could be this one. I don't know.
Yeah. That is a very very NASA way to save some money is grab some old.
Would have been off the shelf.
Yeah. So, come hang out at Udvarhazy if you want to do that. If you are busy during the day, though, and you want to just come have beers with us, we are going downtown after that, 7 p.m. Is it downtown DC? Is that really? I don't know. We're going inside the Beltway. we're going to go into DC to, it's called DACA Beer Gardens.
DACHA, if you don't speak German, like I do not.
DACHA. We'll put
it
in the show
notes.
Yes, it
is about a 10-minute walk, I believe, or maybe even less than that, from the convention center where everything will be happening. So it's nice and close.
Yeah.
Not too far from Logan Circle.
It'll be great. So,
did you say the time? I missed that part if you did.
Yeah, 7 p.m. it will be at Daka. So 10 a.m. at Udvarhazy, 7 p.m. at Daka Beer Garden. And
important note, Sunday night, the Eagles are playing the Cowboys. So
it's going to be that kind of night.
It's going to be that kind of night, especially for this guy right here. So I assume we'll be able to see something at the Beer Garden. If not, we'll look at the score and yell at each other if you are some sort of fan. Lars is going to bring the Crisco so I can show you my Philadelphia pole climbing skills.
Yeah, I'll grease up the poles, yeah.
Yes.
And I will have all of these stickers with me and these amazing Jim Bridenstine fan club pins.
Which those are all, absolutely incredible.
We're all going to put them on our lapels for the, I'll put them on, I don't think Anthony has ever worn a jacket in his life, but we will. You got married. I think you must have a jacket. Yeah. So we'll
put
them. We'll put them on our shirts and wear them around the conference, and we'll see if we can find JB. And,
oh my God, I didn't even consider
him,
that.
Convince him to come on the show, because that's really the ultimate dream.
Or at least a photo of us wearing that.
If we get JB on the show, we can just shut down all our podcasts after, and then that's it.
That's it.
We're good. Yeah. Cool. So that's the meetup plan. Come hang out.
And if you forget any of that, events.offnominal.space will have the details.
Yeah, which is not linked from offnominal.space.
Right. Thank you.
We learned.
What was our webmaster's name?
That's Kevin again. Kevin is the killer here. He's got
employee number one of offnominal.
He's got pins for us. He's got website feedback. He's got like a business plan. He's all good. Yeah, so we'll convince JB to come on. That's the goal.
Boom.
Measure of success for IAC.
Set attainable and measurable goals.
We will see how easily I make it through Sunday, because I actually am taking a red eye flight. So
you're gonna be a wreck. Yeah,
I'm gonna be a disaster. Yeah.
Well, somebody else tried to land on the moon this week, Jake.
Somebody did try to land on the moon, but instead they did a somersault.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read that new release about this.
Nothing to read. It did a somersault.
Okay. Oh, I mean, I saw that in the trajectory or in the simulation. Mm-hmm. I found this one a little odd from India, I'll be honest. So, a little background. India was working on this moon lander. Vikram was part of the Chandrayaan 2 mission. Chandrayaan 2 is in orbit. Vikram was going down for landing. Didn't work out. Somebody just said we need to drink Mountain Dew with JB.
I'll do whatever JB asks.
Awesome. Anyway, so this lander didn't work out. Very reminiscent of Beresheet. Almost identical in vibe, right? Where it was going well, all of a sudden things went off the rails, and then they were very quiet. I mean, I guess it's not weird for India, right? Like, they've had launches in the past where something went off nominal, and they, like, didn't really talk about it.
Like what? I can't remember that.
There was the fairing one where the fairing didn't open.
Oh, yeah.
And they were
kind of
hush hush about that.
Yep.
And then wasn't there another one maybe like 2 years ago where something underperformed and they just didn't make orbit? Or am I thinking of something else?
I can't remember now.
I don't know. Anyway, they were very weird about this one. You know?
Yeah, I would love to see like a press release. Let's be honest, like, I'd love to see, like, here's what we know so far, here's what we're working on. But it's sad because it's just like, it looks like I'm trying to think of how it would happen. I don't really know the engine configuration, but it pitched forward and did like a complete somersault while the engine was burning, and so it added a bunch of downward velocity instead of canceling a bunch of downward velocity.
We've all been there.
Yeah, it's basically a Kerbal Space Program. Right. When you launch a rocket and you forget to put the tail fins on it, and so it's like top heavy and then it spins over. Yeah. So that was basically what happened with it. So I don't know, maybe it even corrected itself, but it just, you know, the margin was too tight and whatever. Or it just...
It did. I mean, in the simulation thing, if that was accurate, it was questionable, but now knowing that, you know, they're saying it did a somersault, that was seen in the simulation in the background of the video we were watching.
Yeah.
And in that video, it did show it stabilized before they lost contact.
Yeah.
Unless they just so happened to lose contact the moment that it was tipped back around facing up.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> And then telemetry stopped. Yeah. That could be right.
I don't know. It was hauling ass though when it lost connection.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, so then it's, well, and then because they're saying that they found it and it's like tilted on the surface. So this is what makes me think that it still kind of like semi worked, but maybe just like, you know, maybe it didn't hit the ground at 500 kilometers an hour. Maybe it hit the ground at like, you know, 8 kilometers an hour and it was like too fast to land, but it still like didn't disintegrate.
I don't know.
Could be. We'll see.
I think we'll find out this week. Yeah.
Yeah, like 4 days from now, we're recording, which is probably going to be like the day that this comes out, and it's going to be all out of date immediately. But LRO should be imaging it by the time you listen to this, and hopefully we'll see pictures of it.
Here's what I want to know about this. Now we've had two of these kind of low-cost, small landers from governments in this case. We're going to have a bunch of small, low-cost landers. Do you think... I have a couple of different questions. Number one is like... Is this like a new thing that if you're a nation, you want to be the person to land the small lander that isn't, you know, US, Soviets, or China? Because like now it seems like a thing that everyone's trying.
Because now it's a race.
Right. Now it's a thing. Now it's like, well, you know, you two failed. Let me see if I can do it.
It's like the relegation round winner you're trying to get for.
It feels like one of those things that they both went down so similarly that I would not be shocked to see somebody jump in and be like, we want to do it.
But who else is going to...
I don't know. It's unwondering. Australia stood up a space agency recently. Luxembourg Japan, did, maybe? But they just want to mine stuff, which still maybe plausible. Japan had that one. The is that iSpace? Or something like that? There's some team that was working in Google Lunar X Prize.
Yeah. And I guess the Europeans could do it, too.
Right. So it would be interesting to see if people were like... We got to crack this. All right. So that's one thing. Not that interesting. Number two, we've got this commercial lunar payload services program that we're all pumped about, where there's going to be a bunch of companies flying to the moon, small landers, low cost, about the same cost, right? Like the Vikram was $87 million, something like that, $89 million, something in that range. The first couple commercial lunar flights are, you know, $70 million. So very similar in budget.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're starting to get nervous?
You know, I thought about that, and it's like, because it's like the same class of lander and same destination, I think there's a lot of association happening, but I think what we're forgetting is that those commercial companies have a ton of access to a ton of NASA institutional knowledge and test data and experience and all that kind of stuff. And I know that NASA hasn't landed on the moon like recently, but like they're good at landing stuff. Let's just be honest.
They're good at landing stuff.
They're good at landing stuff.
And they like to play it up.
And if like Eclipse company like calls up NASA and is like, look, we're a little nervous. Can you come by and look at some of our engineering data? Like NASA has a vested interest in making sure these work. And I know they're gonna like, you know, hire whatever. However many companies are going to actually do this. There's two right now, I guess, that are contracted, but we know there's going to be more. So they're buffering, and they're going to accept, you know, at least one failure probably, but they want more than one of these to succeed. And so I think that there's not anything to worry about because of these crashes.
The thing that is good is that it does make it a lot easier for NASA. You know, we've always known as people that care about this that. Like, there's going to be CLPS failures. You know, there's going to be people that crash. This makes it a ton easier for people within NASA that need to communicate this stuff to politicians or the public or whoever to say, look at how many failures there's been on the moon. You know, in the same way that it's easier for people when they're going to Mars to be like, well, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's sent to Mars that doesn't work out. Notably, NASA. I think we talked about this before, that NASA has an insanely good track record, but they like to talk about
it. I had a whole episode about it.
But they like to talk about how good they are about, or they like to talk about how dangerous Mars is, but they're like nearly 100%.
Yeah, it could theoretically strengthen funding for CLPS, being like, no, look, we got to get a few of these because they're gonna do some somersaults over
there.
That's
a good point
too. Yeah, we gotta get some some extra providers going here, more jorbs. I think this beer is already getting to me. This is going to be off the rails real fast. And yeah, so Lars in the Discord also calling out that, you know, there's ways to address these risks. Testing specifically is something that I think NASA's probably really good at. And that helps a lot. Testing important. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm not too worried, honestly.
Yeah, it's a bummer for India, but I think, like, overall, it's good to see metal smashing into the moon. I'm going to take a strong stance and say I prefer a world where there's metal smashing into the moon into one where there is not.
Yeah.
That's a strong stance. It's a hot take right there.
That is a hot take. Even if there's tardigrades on it?
Oh, we can talk about that?
I don't know. Do you want to? I don't think there's much there to talk about.
Yeah, I don't really. Do you know how I know it was a slow news month?
Because tardigrades was the headline?
I mean, it is interesting to some regard. It is interesting in the way of, like, how long... I don't know. There's a little Wild West element to it that I like.
Yeah.
You probably hate it.
I don't hate it. No, it's not a... To me, it's not like a space story. It's just like a... You know, this company did something and didn't tell anybody about it. And just like, you know, pretty much every other company. And, yeah, so it's completely a policy discussion, and I only have so much patience for policy.
Yeah, and it's also the moon. Like, if you're worried about contamination, that place is effed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not.
Right, we pooped on it. We've pooped there.
There literally is human poop on the moon.
Yeah, we've pooped there a lot.
Yeah. And I listened to who was I listening to? I listened to a podcast about this. Maybe I'm going to do an impromptu pick here. Was it Burns?
Probably. If it's about space poop, then almost certainly it was Brendan Byrne.
Byrne has a new segment on Are We There Yet? It's like a, you know, like a quick discussion at the end of the show, and he had some of the reporters nearby, and they were talking about it. I might be making up this whole thing.
I just listened to this recently. So
yeah. And they're talking about, like, listen, like, yes, you could have splayed these tardigrades all over the moon. And maybe they're going to survive, but they're going to be in, like, a frozen, like, you know, state. So, like, unless you, like, go and gather them up and then, like, put them back into a safe environment and try and revive them, like, nothing's going to happen, right? So.
Also, they can only stay that way for, like, 4 years, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone's delivering water to, like, find these and, like, pour water on them in 4 years.
Yeah. Now, scientists may be shouting that, hey, we don't really know, but, yeah, we don't. And.
Yeah.
If I could have gone back and changed it and let them disclose that they were sending organic materials and biological payloads, I would. But they didn't.
And here we are, not wanting to talk about it.
Not wanting to talk about it.
And doing 5 to 10 minutes on it.
Not a cool move, Space IL, but
all right. Yeah. Let's talk about Starhopper. We did a whole show about Starhopper, and then it did extra hop and it was epic.
Yeah,
and it was so weird.
It didn't look as epic as it actually was, though. You know what I mean? Like, because I watched it and it's like it like barely came out of the like cloud of smoke, and you're like, oh, that's not very high. And then but then you like remember that even though it looks like a tiny little test vehicle, it's like 20 meters high or whatever.
It's huge, yeah.
Like, it's giant. Not 20 meters, but it's like really, really big. And so it went pretty high, pretty far. So, but it was super awesome because it was just like, I don't know. It was just, you're watching it happen. Like watching the sausage get made.
Much like the pre-show where we
much like the pre-show where everyone found out how we organize meetups on the fly right before the show. SpaceX was organizing a test flight on the fly right before the show.
Here's an interesting thing that I experienced watching that. I it is now a few weeks out of my memory, so I forget who and where I was when I was watching this with, but that was a weird sentence. I was watching it with a non-space person, and there's something interesting about the fact that it looks so weird and not like a rocket that it almost made them ask more questions than if I was just watching a rocket launch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was watching a regular SpaceX launch, they would say, oh, cool, like, what's going up? What's happening? This and that and the other. The fact that it looked that weird they wanted to know, like, all everything about it. Why does it look like that? Why is it shaped like that? What's it going to do? Why is this thing useful? There was a lot more questions because of how weird it looked.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting effect that I didn't really consider running up to the flight, even as it was happening, thinking in my own head.
Actually, I had a few non-space people bring it up to me, too, and they were like, did you watch that? It's Elon Musk. It was like, and I'm like, the giant flying beer keg. And they're like, yeah, that's the one. That's the one I was talking. And so it's like.
and there's definitely people that are, you know, it's a flying test stand. We've talked about this. It is a flying test stand.
Yep.
And you can say that in both a way that diminishes it, but also it's a flying test stand. That's cool as hell.
It's pretty cool.
As a thing on its own, that's a cool item.
Is that actually I know they're going to use it as a test stand, but are they they're going to continue to use it as a flying test stand, or are they going to like mount it and then?
No, I think they're going to strap it down now.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, it's cool though. I don't know. I am always like ranting on about how real hardware and real flights is way more important than theory, and this is that underlined three times. Like, it's just like, this is the new engine and it's flying in the air.
Yeah, so, and you can point to it as a thing, you know, and there is a certain part of it that is like, yes, this is for the optics, but people that discount that as not important, I think, are missing the point of it. Optics do matter. It does matter that you have things to talk about and point to and say, look at the thing that we did. Even if you know as a space nerd that there's, well, technically it's not the actual tanks and it's not the actual configuration of the engines and it's the actual GNC. None of that matters to the people are looking at that. Yeah.
No.
So.
The engine was real.
It was real. It was not a fake. This is not a conspiracy.
I'm not a rocket scientist, but the one thing I do know is the tanks, not the hardest part.
Okay, so what flew off at the end?
Who knows? I hope it was life support, just to troll everybody.
It was life support?
Some little composite overwrap pressure vessel tumbled off at the end. A little white one, right? That's what it was?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a COPV. I don't think it was.
Was it just the cold gas thrusters or whatever?
Like could have been. It just like spun itself off its mounting.
You know.
What was it doing? The international sign for cold gas thrusters is essentially flossing.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like milking a little bit. I don't know.
I got one more topic about Starhopper. They flew tiles on Starhopper.
Yeah.
And then also flew tiles on a recent Dragon mission. What is happening with heat shielding on this thing?
They're testing, man.
Because it was going to be heat shielded by tiles, and then it was going to be this crazy system that bled fuel.
Transpiration?
Yes, and then there was going to be... Now we're back to tiles.
Yeah.
What do you think? Make me a dinner bet on whether it will be tiles or no tiles.
I think it's going to be a mix.
A mix.
It's going to be like
that
shuttle.
That is such a cop-out on our dinner bet.
Yeah. You know me. I'm an anti-factionalism guy. I never take the one or the other. I always take a middle road. Then I can only ever be half wrong.
That's a good way to put it.
I just can't suffer that much defeat. I don't know. They were like hexagonal tiles too, right? They were like, it looked like
like a little mini James Webb monument.
Yeah, James Webb Space Telescope without the outer ring or whatever. It's just like this, the seven, right?
Between that and them calling it the Starship Launch System, I feel like they are doing these micro trolls.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm digging it.
I'm getting chewed out for how I said hexagonal.
What did you say?
Hexagonal.
Hexagonal, not hexagonal.
Yeah.
You also say Bridenstine. Right? Is that how you say it?
No, I say Bryden. What did I say? I don't remember.
You say Bridenstine.
Right, Steen instead of Stein, right?
Right, Steen instead of Stein.
Yeah. This is why I just
great
say JB.
Content.
Apparently, you guys don't like how I talk about stuff.
JB's great, and I can't wait till you say it to him in person.
Yo, JB. I'm going to say it like that, too.
What are we doing on this show?
This is a disaster show. This is what happens when it's a grab bag. I'm already on the second beer, so.
Same. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. We had another grab bag topic. Didn't we? Didn't we have another grab bag topic?
Kerbal Space Program?
Oh, Kerbal. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I thought there was going to be another topic, and then I remembered how little happened in the last month, other than what we just talked about.
Everyone was away for
We literally
vacation.
Just talked about all of the space news that mattered in the last month.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mars was in conjunction. There was nothing going on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, can you want to do a little mole update?
Mole update?
Mostly, I just want to know, like, yeah. I've been trying to follow along, and there's, like, the whole thing, and they're going to cover it. What's going on with this mole at Mars?
Well, so they took the housing off the mole, and now you guys could probably make fun of me how I said housing.
I'm not going to say make fun of you. Who's going to make fun of you?
The housing was pulled off so they could see it, and it was, like, totally sideways, like, at an angle, and it had, like, kind of spun a little bit, but the ribbon was all twisted up, and it, like, really carved a little bit of a tunnel, so the mole is not touching much of the side of the hole, and it really needs that friction to go down. So this is why the mole on InSight, the Mars lander, is not going down. So one idea, basically the soil is too cohesive. It's all crusted together. It's like a little layer at the top. It's all solid and crusty. So they tried to put the scoop on the arm and like crush it down to like collapse it in, and it didn't really work.
It's so what like are they going to do? Scoop some and fill it up?
The leading theory, as far as I know, is to actually put the scoop right on the top of the mole and start pushing.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Why wouldn't they fill the hole first? You know, like you ever been to the beach and put an umbrella in?
Yeah.
You gotta like.
And then you like you put the sand on top, you know? And like
yeah, and then
pat
you
it
do
down.
A little stamp down. Yeah. Why don't they do that?
Well, there's no humans there.
Should that I make a call? I don't know. They have a shovel.
yeah, they do have a shovel. Listen, we'll call up Tillman Spoon. Well, I don't know how you say it. German DACA. We're not good at it. That's the plan right now. Is put the scoop on the top of the mole, push down a little bit, and then restart the hammering motion and see if the extra push is enough to go down a little further, and then it can just keep, you know, catch and then go. But the problem with that is like the limit is that once the scoop pushes down to the level of the soil, it's going to like go flush and hit, and then you're kind of stuck. And then if that still doesn't work, then yeah, maybe you do need to start filling it up. But I imagine that just going to take a long time and be really risk prone and like kind of be awful, right?
I would assume so. It sounds like it is.
Yeah. But that's the InSight update. So when they came out of conjunction, they wanted to wait a little bit and keep grabbing some more information. So my expectation is that a week or two before they give another update.
Well, there's your once a year mole update here on the Off Nominal podcast.
Lars has asked me what I think of DLR subsurface instrument programs.
It's a very deep topic for yeah. Friday night late.
For the sample size of the HP3 mole, I think it I think I wish it had done better. I don't know what to say about that. So,
all right.
Yeah,
I'm gonna continue through the grab bag, but this is kind of an early pick for me. My pick this week, month. I don't know how often we do this show. Is go watch everything there is about KSP2, Kerbal Space Program 2.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many demos and intro videos and wonderful things coming in your future.
Are there that many? Because I've seen like the, so there was the like announcement video that was just like some flashy footage,
right,
and, like
right.
It's mostly like rendered stuff.
The sizzle reel.
Yeah, the sizzle reel. And then there was another one that was more like alpha footage, right?
The developer one.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was pretty
like,
much
it. It was like behind the scenes. It was like they had like a lot of talking heads and yeah, that was pretty cool. It looks awesome.
Yes, it looks great.
See, the
I'm
thing about,
so nervous about it.
The thing about KSP is that it, like, for all the amazing things that it was, it's hard to, like, remember that it was like a success by accident and probably didn't have a ton of like really normal user input that you would get when you're developing a game that you knew was going to be successful. It's like some guys were just like at a marketing company and they're just like, well, let's make a space game. And they just like threw it together and it was like kind of good. And they're like, just kind of like iterated, like it just bounced around through like different variations until it like all of a sudden exploded into success. And so the fact that they're able to now go back to KSP2 and go, okay, we already know that the format is a success, so let's just do that format really, really well. It's going to make it so much better. Like yeah. all the bugs with KSP that I like are so annoying, but you love the game so much, you just power through it. Like, that's like when I was like playing that game, it would crash like every 20 minutes and I just didn't care. Just reboot the computer, fire it up, keep going. Like, you just like, I don't care.
All of your mods and then you're good.
Yeah. Like, that's how good the game is. And so if you can build it from scratch, knowing that with some resources.
I'm curious as a developer if this is from scratch. You know, I wonder how from scratch it is.
Is it still built off Unity?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't think it's like from scratch.
Sure.
But it's a nice refactor.
From the ground up-ish.
Yeah. So on this topic, that's short pick, but I have an expanded topic. I would like to talk about, I think KSP has a very special place in people's hearts that are space nerds. Many people developed a love of space from playing KSP or learned orbital mechanics by playing KSP. I certainly did that. There's the XKCD graph. Got an internship at NASA, took an astrophysics class, played KSP. Very accurate. I would like to talk about our origin story of when did we discover KSP? What was the background? Like, where? I'll go first because I have a longer one on yours.
Okay.
So I was in Denver, Colorado. I was out there for, at the time, I was a full-time web developer. I was out in Denver at an iOS conference learning iOS development. And that was like, which is what I do now full-time. So it was a very interesting week. Wonderful teacher, Daniel Steinberg. Any iOS developers out there may know him because he's awesome and does all these great conference talks. Wonderful teacher. And I was hanging out one night on Twitter, saw Notch from Minecraft, who's maybe problematic at this point, I don't know. But he was, I don't know what happened with him. He was tweeting that he was like, oh, I crashed this satellite into the ocean in Kerbal Space Program. And I was like, what the hell is Kerbal Space Program? This was like, I could probably look it up. I think it was like April 2015. So I think it was like 0.6 or 1.6 or 1.7 or something like that.
Okay.
And I watched this video of Notch totally sucking at Kerbal Space Program. And then that was it. I spent
You're
the
hooked.
Next... That was it. That was literally it. And I've not stopped playing it since.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. It just sort of sucks you in, right?
It was the feeling of, this is the game that I've literally always wanted to exist.
Yeah.
And now it is here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you have a more interesting origin story. I mean, maybe not the origin story part, but it, much in the way that we, after 2 years, are plugging our podcast again, I want to resurface a conversation we may have had. You think we've had this conversation on the show. I don't remember it. So maybe it was late in the Lauren Grush episode. I don't know. We'll not remember what happened at the end of that one.
Yeah. No, I will not remember at the end of that episode.
Okay. When did you discover KSP?
So I'm like logging into my Reddit account now to try and find like some posting history, but I think it was 2014, maybe June-ish, the summer, mid-year kind of thing.
Wow, you were way earlier than I was even. Nice.
Yeah. And I don't remember where I saw it first. It was just on the internet somewhere, like, I don't know, maybe a tweet or a Reddit or something like that. But I remember there was like a demo you could get at the time. And I remember being like, well, I'll try this out. And I downloaded this demo. And like, it was awful. Like, it was like an early version. And all the demo that you do is launch like one capsule on one solid rocket booster. It was like something really bad. And like, I played it for like 4 hours one night. And I was just like, I just like, with all these constraints, I found all this way to like make the game interesting for a long period of time. So
foreshadowing.
Yeah. So I remember that, and then like, and I tend to like be with games, especially like I really make them try to earn my purchase. So like I remember just
You're one of those.
I'm gonna put all my time in this demo, and like, and then if I'm like, I think I like this game, then I'll pause and then like wait 2 weeks, and then like, do I still like it? And if I do, then I'm like, okay, I'll buy it now.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm like that guy with games.
I'm so the opposite, because I'm like somebody who makes software, so I'm like, if I have any appreciation for the thing you made and the effort you put into it, here's some cash. Like, I just, I think, feel like it's a karma thing.
Yeah. And so then I was like playing around with it. I tried, like, I don't think there was even like, currently there's like, you know, science mode and like campaign. There was just like one, there was just sandbox mode, I think, back then.
Oh yeah. That went until like 1.0, I think.
Yeah. And what did I do? I don't even know what I did, but eventually like fell into trying to recreate historical missions. I was like, well, maybe, yeah. Pause.
I said that KSP has a special place in space nerds' hearts as a thing. And of that group that it has a special place for, the subreddit of Kerbal Space Program, not as it exists today, but of like 3-4 years ago, was one of the pinnacles of subreddit status, I would say. It was very supportive community. You could post.
Yeah.
Post my first moon landing. Here's a sweet Mars mission. I should go back in my Reddit history, because I had a kick-ass Mars mission one time that was rad, and I got a bunch of upvotes and I liked it. Should find that one. But it was a wonderful place. And of the people that populated Kerbal Space Program subreddit, there is one particular series that has an even more special place in all of our hearts.
Oh my god, you're really buttering this up.
I don't think that's inaccurate to say, though. Like, there's everybody that was on the subreddit at that time. If you say these words to them, they will go, oh my god, I love that series. And you are the man behind the curtain of KSP history.
Yes.
And I don't think anyone knows that.
Maybe not. I don't brag about it a lot.
You should, though.
Yeah, it was really fun. I just, like I honestly, I remember, I think what kicked it off is I was like, can I make a V2 in KSP? And then I just, like,
I wow, was just that firing. Was like, you literally started from the first bit of space history?
No, I think so. And I think I made this, and then I was like, and I was, like, not satisfied with, like, how it looked. And, like, I'm like, I can make a thing that, like, does the same thing as a V2, but it doesn't look like a V2. And so I started like playing around with mods. And I remember, I think the V2 mission is like, I used fairings to like make the, like that kind of bulbous shape of a V2.
That sounds right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was just like, this is really fun. And then I just,
so did,
like,
you post that one on the subreddit?
Yeah, I did. It's, I'm trying to remember now.
Well, you just renewed the domain today, you said, so.
I did, yeah, the domain. I just got, it was really funny, because you're like, I'm going to talk about KSP history. And then I got an email from GoDaddy. He's like, we renewed it. And then, V2's first one. Look at that. Part one. The ancestor of rockets, it says on the website. And they're just like imager albums. So I just like took screen caps and started writing about what the rocket was. And it sort of took off. Look at those fairings. Oh, that was ugly.
But here's the thing about KSP history that is so Jake. Like, it's not just, here's this mission. It's the story of each mission told through, you know, and then later, I don't know if that one had, oh, you did have some real photos in that one. Yeah, you had blank. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Your format never changed. That's amazing.
No.
And you did this for,
they got longer.
So long.
There, so this was posted in July of 2014. So yeah, I'd been playing for a couple months, I think.
And when was your last one?
The last one, so this was really the proto We Martians, when you get down to it, because it's like where I learned like storytelling, it's like space storytelling and stuff, and it taught me like, yeah, it's just really the storytelling part of it is really what it taught me. The last one looks like July 2015, so it was like about a year that I posted them. And for a while, it was like once a day, like 7 days a week, and then it kind of like tapered off as a mission. Well, because like the early missions were so easy that I'd come on the weekend and I'd bang out like 10 of them in like 3 hours.
That's
and
a good
like,
point.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
I'm all set for the week.
But the writing, man.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Like the, you'll see the early ones are a lot shorter. And then like I started with V2 and then I went to, I jumped a little bit around. V2 went to Sputnik and then kind of went from there. And I went through like every mission that added something new from like what it would look like in KSP. So there, I skipped a few if it was like, you know, oh, Mariner 5 was the same as Mariner 4 or whatever. I just didn't bother doing it again. But I went through kind of every mission. So 186 parts later, 1 year later, I'd got up to 1990, which was like kind of some early shuttle stuff. And but yeah, they got super complicated by the end. And like at the end, it was like it took me hours and hours and hours to do just one of them. And I was like, I can't sustain this anymore.
It's crazy, man.
But that, so July 2015, I bought the We Martians domain name like 4 months later. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how seamless it was.
Yeah. Yeah. December, I built the website. So, like, it was that same year, 2015, because the first episode was January 2016. So that's where I learned my stuff, guys.
Man, I just think it's so great. Like, it's one of those things that I. So we have this like origin post of where we met on Reddit.
I love and, that post.
Yeah, but that's not the origin post of where we met on Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
The origin post is me going, how the F is this guy building a space shuttle out of these parts? And how Did is you... he controlling it and landing it? This is pissing me off. And it was very anger-inducing.
Did you ever comment on the post? Like, can we find like further back, like some point when we interacted and didn't
know
about it?
No, if I ever commented on there.
Were you a lurker?
I was totally a lurker.
Mm.
I'll have to find that. I'll have to look back.
What got really hard near the end is like you had to think ahead on missions because they would last like multiple things. So like I was building Mir near the end of it and there was multi-modules and like all these like, and so you when you put up the first module, you had to think about all the times in the future that another mission would interact with that module and what parts of the spacecraft you'd have to build.
Oh my God.
And it was super complicated. The worst was like what kind of killed me was Hubble. Because I wanted to do the servicing missions. So I built the whole inside of Hubble. Like I don't think you can even I did cover it, right? 91. Hold on. I'm looking again. Launch. So I did the launch episode. So I don't think you can actually see anything inside of it in this post. But what's behind there, almost like 50 images. It was so long. what you can't see is that inside there, the doors open up. And like I literally had built all the instruments like by hand inside of it with removable parts, knowing what they had to take off later. And it was like, it took so long. I watched, I think, all of the servicing EVAs, which are like 9 hours long. Yeah. And I took notes like, okay, so he's taking off this thing. So
you are relentless.
Can I build that into it? And all this, it was a nightmare. Like,
so you are relentless.
I'm glad I never actually had to do that. The Hubble one looks good, though. I'm pretty proud of the Hubble one. You should look that one up. Copy. This is great audio content, by the way, but there's the Hubble. I just put that in the chat.
Oh my God. Check your album art, podcast listeners.
Check your album art. There you go. But yeah, it was fun and it became unsustainable. So actually, that's one of the big lessons I learned from it is how to do We Martians sustainably and not like take over my life. So it was good.
Man. So yeah, I just wanted to, in the spirit of we should plug our other stuff more. I just want everyone to know. How do you pronounce your username?
I don't know. I don't ever spell it.
Mendahu? Mendahu? What would you say?
Mendahu, I guess. Mendahu, maybe.
Mendahu?
That's the name. So the origin story of that username is it's the name of my first Dungeons & Dragons character.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a wizard.
I don't even have a do you have a pick?
Do I have a pick? Yeah, yes. I have a pick. I thought for a good pick, what I would do is share some of the tools that I use for We Martians.
Ooh, I like
so
this.
I have a three pack, three related picks.
A bundle.
Yeah, a bundle of picks. So the first one is an app for your phone. It is called Mars Clock, Mars Dash Clock.
Ooh.
It's on iOS. I'm sorry, I don't know if it's on Android. But it's a really simple app that just has Insight and Curiosity and the time, the mission time and Sol date right on there. So that when I do Red Planet Review, I can just say today is Sol whatever. So that's kind of cool. It tells you as well, like kind of sunrise and sunset, where the spacecraft is, the distance to Earth, the time, radio signal delay. So it's kind of cool. And you just swipe through. Opportunity's still on there if you want to have a little cry sesh. And yeah, so very basic app. Like, it's just super simple how it, you know, it displays it. It's like not a pretty app, but it's
purchased. I just bought it.
Yeah, it's cool. So I use that. That's the easy one. Second part of this bundle is so Curiosity raw images are uploaded to JPL's website, but I find JPL's website difficult to navigate them. Because they like sort it by instrument, and within the instrument category, it's like by Sol. And so if you want to look up everything on a certain Sol, it's like a little more challenging. So there's actually another website called midnightplanets.com.
There's an app too.
And there's an app. And Midnight Planets is just like, again, a very utilitarian, like not supposed to be a pretty website, it's supposed to be a useful website. And you can sort it by like uplink day. So here's an uplink and all the data that came with it. I guess it's a downlink. Or you can go to the Sol to look at everything for that Sol that's been downlinked so far. So I find that much more useful in sort of grabbing raw images from Curiosity. It's where I go if I ever want to make like a GIF, or if I want to make a mosaic or something like that. It's kind of fun. And then the last one, which is if you really, really want to get into Mars, you have to get this program called JMARS.
Oh boy.
So JMARS is a wonderful little software that is used by real scientists. It is not really targeted towards the general public, but it's pretty easy to use. And so it's essentially Google Earth, but for Mars. And it has all of the spacecraft data sets loaded into it. So every image that Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has ever taken is uploaded into this database, and it connects into it. So you can navigate around Mars and then say, what does this spot look like? What MRO images are available for this? And you can load that up and it puts it over. Okay, add all the MOLA altimeter data so I can see the relief of the terrain. Add that over top of it. How about Mars Express? How about every orbiter that you can think of has put all their data in there? And you can play around with it and see what you can learn from it. It's super useful if you want to examine interesting sites, like you want to look where Curiosity is, you can go down there and see what the actual specific terrain is to whatever resolution is. It's just the real data. So it's just as much information as the scientists use. There's some cool tools about like measuring distance or tracing objects, all that kind of fun stuff. So it's got like, it's a tool behind it, but it's like, honestly, even for a lot of our space fans that are probably not afraid to learn a new software and goof around with it, it's going to be a pretty cool little software to use. So JMARS is awesome. I was browsing Arcadia Planitia just the other day, so to see what's going on there, you know. But yeah, so that's my pick. Three pack Mars tools.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Is that the end of the show?
Your pick was early. Your pick was KSP history.
No, it was it was KSP 2 and KSP history. Two. Seriously though, KSP history. That's some shit.
No, you're very kind. I had fun.
I just love it. I love it. It's just such a great part of. I didn't realize how short you did it for. Not that it was yeah. short, but it was a lot of
Looking
work.
Looking back, I'm like, a year, that's it. Like, it was 186
episodes. Right, it feels like
episodes.
A lot longer
Jesus,
than that.
Jesus Christ.
Why did
I
you
thinking?
Do it so frequently?
It was 7 days a week when I first started. I remember that.
And you were married.
I remember, like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my wife didn't like it.
So much. I mean, I probably played KSP 7 days a week also, but I didn't also write and screenshot and get pictures off the internet and plan. And it's so Jake. That is that series.
You should see the spreadsheet.
Oh my God. Of course there's a spreadsheet.
You'd like the Skylab one too, because I built it all.
Do you still have the spreadsheet?
I do. I still have the spreadsheet.
God.
Of course
Can you do that as a Patreon bonus of We Martians?
Yeah, Patreon bonus. You get to see the spreadsheet. Yeah, the Skylab ones are good too. You love Skylab because I built in.
I love Skylab.
I built in the part of the rocket that rips off mid-flight, and then I built in the funky parasol they put on it to like save it from overheating. I think that was fun. I'm trying to think of what other fun ones there were. Mir was really cool. So do you know how the Mir modules dock? Did you ever look into that?
Not to the level you did, apparently.
Mir's got like that weird shape where there's like a core module,
right?
And it's got the node at the end that's like you can attach all things in. But even though there are other modules kind of perpendicular to the core module, everything docks end to end. And so they would bring something in, dock it end to end, and then there's this little arm that reaches out, grabs it, and like spins, like undocks it and spins it around to the side. And so everything comes in there, and then they move it, and it comes in, and then they move it. And I had to build that in KSB. It was a nightmare because like all the geometries had to be perfect, and like, oh my God. But
what were you using, like the infrared robotics or whatever that thing was called?
Yeah, Infernal Robotics.
Infernal robotics.
Infrared. I built my own custom arm with just like the hinges or whatever, but that was fun. And the space shuttle was the hardest thing I have ever done. And I had to like cheat the system so bad to make it fly. It was like it was not pretty. There was this mod that was, I think it was like a welding mod. You could take like multiple parts, weld them together into one custom part. And that was the only way I could get the center of mass to be in the right spot and still make it look like the shuttle. But yeah, it was fun to fly.
I'm looking at the Skylab one right now. This is pretty great. All right, well, that's the show.
That's the show. This is a grab bag episode.
Meet up
of Off Nominal.
October 20th. We're basically going to do this right here, what you've just heard for an hour together in real life. Meet space.
Yeah.
DACA, Beer Garden, near the convention center, events.offnominal.space.
Mm-hmm.
You have any parting words?
No. This beer is really good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. End of test.